I'm thankful for each one that's here this morning. It's our prayer that the Lord would meet us here by His Spirit, for we have nothing without Him. It's He that makes the Word alive and quickens our understanding to receive it. And so I ask for your prayers, the Lord to bless His Word to every one of us here this morning. I'm thankful that there's one who's promised to go all the way with us. Didn't just start out in a flourish and then somewhere along the way we look to find Him gone, but I'm thankful that He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. I've written on the board the word stability. I'd like to consider with the Lord's help this morning. I've read recently, the last year or two, perhaps you've seen it as well. A number of years ago in San Francisco, there was the first skyscraper that had been built in a number of years, something like 20 plus years. And so the city, as you could understand, was excited. And when the developers planned a 50 some story skyscraper that would be developed and built in the downtown area of the city. And so over the course of a number of years as they constructed and built the skyscraper, that went on, and the city watched, and they began to fill up tenants for the building. It was to be largely a residential skyscraper, selling penthouses at a premium price. So they began to fill up the tower, and folks, whenever the grand opening happened, they began to move in to the penthouses that they had signed contracts for, and all was well. Beautiful building, glass mirrored appearance of the building. Again, I believe it was 58 stories. So at first, all was well in their new home, until they began noticing some cracks in the walls and cracks even developing in the glass and the windows. They began hearing popping sounds in the building and things that they were unsettling to them, that didn't seem like it ought to be sounding that way and it ought to be feeling that way. And so they began to survey it and look at the building, and they realized this thing is sinking. And over the course of, I believe it was built around, I don't have the exact date with me, I think it was around 2005. And in the time since then, they've noticed that this building has sunk over 16 inches into the ground. A 58-story skyscraper sinking well over a foot into the foundation on which it was built. Not only that, but they've realized that it's beginning to lean, and it's leaned around 14 inches in one direction at the top. No wonder it's unsettling. Whenever you make a home and you want this and you spend, it was over $1 million for a lot of the penthouses in it, you'd like to be able to think that this thing's going to last for a while. This is going to be on a firm footing. You take that for granted. You build a building, I expect that it's going to stay put just where you build it. But it's not the case. And it's, as they've surveyed and tried to figure out what do we do with it, it'll be hundreds of millions of dollars to try to fix it now. And so it continues to settle, continues to sink, and they expect that to go on. Stability, being firmly established, not changing or fluctuating, permanent and enduring, placed so as to resist forces that would cause motion or change of motion, or to develop forces to restore whenever it is disturbed. It's very important the foundation on which a building is established. And I'd like for us to read a familiar passage, words of Jesus in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Throughout this parallel story, you see a lot that's in common. The same rains descended, the same floods rose, and the same winds blew upon both houses. But what was different was the result of what happened to the house. One stood firm, one was still abiding, one was firmly established, but the other, as a result of the storms and the waves and the elements around, it succumbed to those elements. It gave way. It fell. It wasn't able to withstand it. My burden for us this morning as God's people is that we would be firmly established, rooted and grounded, that we be built upon a solid rock, because we can be assured that the elements of the world around us are going to beat upon our structure. The winds are going to blow. The rains are going to fall. We're going to be subject unto the floodwaters, but it is for us to build our lives in such a way that we can withstand the storms and the elements of life. Are we firmly established this morning? Stability is so important for us. To be able to have a stable and a firm footing, it doesn't matter how beautiful the building is on the outside. It doesn't matter how many millions you sell the penthouse for, because of the fanciness and the lavish decorations and all of the building itself, if it's not built on a firm foundation, it's worthless. And the tenants have started to realize that as they go and try to sell their penthouse. I kind of want out of here. I don't really want to live here. And they go list it on the market. How much interest do you think there is? Not a whole lot. I don't want to live there. I've been reading in the news. I've been seeing cracks developing in the sidewalk around it, where the whole foundation of the thing is starting to shift and settle. I don't want to buy it. And so the property value has started to tank. It's not worth much. And it's not worth much for us today to build as the world builds, looking for appearance, looking for something that the outward eye would say, that's beautiful, that's attractive, I want to live there, I want to be in this kind of a place. Oh, it is for us to build our lives on something that is firmly established. So what is it that's firmly established? Amen. Jesus. It said they built upon a rock. That house was founded upon a rock. And that's what Jesus told Peter, I'll build my church upon. Folks, any other church, any other building, any work of our own hands will not last, will not endure the test of time. It will not stand the scrutiny of God's word. It will not withstand the winds that blow in the world around us. We see today many buildings that have been erected, and we see them starting to shift. We see them starting to lean. We see things that once were firmly established. People are starting to settle a little bit. They're starting to say, well, maybe we can accept this. Buildings of man's hands. Organizations and churches, folks, I'm thankful today that we can be built on something more firmly established than the church of Clint or the church of any one of us. The church that Jesus Christ built is not subject, it's subject unto the elements. The waves are going to beat on it, the winds are going to blow, but it will not succumb unto the elements. It is firmly established. It is firmly grounded upon a rock. He told Peter, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. I'm going to establish it upon something that is unwavering. Upon a bedrock that you can go down and anchor every one of us. The scripture says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? Christ Jesus. That is the foundation that's already been laid. So Lord, help us to take heed how we build thereon. That I not build my house, shift it over a little bit. That I not say, well, I want to be in the same neighborhood. Oh Lord, help us that we build our lives upon that firm foundation, which is Christ Jesus. It's not the opinions of man. That's not a firm foundation. For example, you'll read one time, one year in maybe a health publication, don't eat eggs. Whatever you do, stay away from eggs. They're harmful for you, cholesterol and this. Stay away from eggs. The secret to long life, we figured it out. Stay away from eggs. And then just a few years later, scientists have discovered the key to long life. Eat more eggs. You understand what I'm saying? That's just an example. But the opinions and the ideas of men, the professional opinions that you're not supposed to question, that's firmly established and settled scientific opinion, it changes. The idea of the origin of man, when you take the firm grounding of God's word away, there's nothing left but shifting sand. There's nothing left but changing opinions and ideas. Well, and it's changed so many times. The official scientific opinion of where we came from. Of how long the world has been in the making. Some have said that, well, it's been so many thousands of years. No, it's millions of years. No, it's not. And it's changed so many times down throughout the years. How we've come into being. What's happened to the dinosaurs as is the big point of interest or contention, and the scientific opinion on that has shifted over and over and over to where one year, this is the answer. Don't dare question it. Don't dare challenge it. This is settled. We've got a scientific consensus of the experts of what's going on here. Yes. Folks, it's shifting sand. It changes. Sand, though it may look like when it packs that it's a firm footing, sand by its very nature is able to shift and slide over each other. Whenever you're in an earthquake-prone zone, such as California, it is imperative and part of the building codes that you consider earthquakes, that you consider the lateral and shear shifting of the earth itself. And it's made worse if you build on sand. If you build on something that's able to just move fluidly, whenever the earth begins to shake and tremble, your house isn't going to stand very firm. But if you can go down and anchor it to something, to the bedrock, that's not going to matter the level of the water in the earth or any of the environmental conditions around, how dry it becomes or whatever else might happen, if you anchor into the bedrock, there's some stability there. There's something firm there. Oh, Lord, help us this morning to be challenged that I build my life with some stability. We're not going to find stability in the world around us. We're not going to find stability in scientific opinion. We're not going to find stability in cultural norms. In society's opinions of what right and wrong is. Because it shifts. It changes from year to year. It changes so frequently. If we base our life, let's consider a specific example. The way that I ought to dress. If I base it on the opinions of man. If I base it on what society says is acceptable. It's going to change over and over and over again. Oh, Lord, help me to go deeper than that. I can't stop there. I can't drill down 12 inches into the ground and say it's good enough now. I've got to keep digging until we hit the bedrock. Folks, have you dug today until you've hit the bedrock? Have you hit the bedrock, which is Christ Jesus? On Him, that's the only foundation on which a church can be built, on which we can be built and our lives can be built. It's the only foundation on which doctrine can be built. The doctrines of men are not enough. If it's firmly established and founded on the Word of God, it'll stand. It'll stand the test of time. It doesn't matter the waves that beat against it. It doesn't matter what may come. It doesn't matter the opinions of man. I'm so saddened whenever I see from time to time in the news of this major denomination and that major church has had a meeting or a conference to determine whether such and such is acceptable. Whether this lifestyle is acceptable. Whether we can allow homosexuals to preach from the pulpit. Folks, you're on shifting sand if you're having those kind of discussions. If you're trying to ask for the consensus and opinion of man, you're building on a shifting foundation. It's not going to work. You're going to start seeing some cracks in the walls that indicate there's some settling going on. And folks, we can look at something like that and say, well, that's way out there. But Lord, help us. Because it can start with some little cracks. It can start with a little bit of settling within ourselves. Folks, it's not of us. If our doctrines are our own, they're going to fall. They're not going to stand the test of time. But if it's built on the firm foundation of Christ Jesus, He said it'll be founded on a rock. When all those things happen, the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," says something about though Satan should buffet. Buffeting is a continual beating against over and over and over again. You know, the actions of waves can erode the shoreline. It can chew into the cliff and all the action of water. Something repeatedly over and over again. The enemy works that way sometimes. Do you feel sometimes that over and over press against us? Lord, help us to be built on something that won't shift under the pressure of that. 1 John, the second chapter. First John 2 and beginning in 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Stability. Oh, how we need a firm foundation. Something that's going to be able to stand forever, regardless of what happens and what comes. Thinking of a scripture in Psalms 92 to go along with that. 92 and 7 says, "When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish." You know, it's what the building looked like. It looked like from all outward appearance. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful building to look on. But there were some underlying problems. You know, we can look around at society, and I believe it's been this way through every generation. There is a society that will rise up, and it seems like in their wickedness they prosper and they're doing well. Asaph spoke about it in the 73rd Psalm. He got discouraged. He said, "My feet well nigh slipped when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked." And it seems like that they're doing well, and it seems like they're in power and they have authority, and And it seems like what they say is settled, and who am I to question it or to try to stand up contrary to those kind of things? But the scripture here says the wicked spring up as the grass. When all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To shew that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that we have a rock. I am so thankful that we have one, though the wicked may rise up and they flourish, and we can realize that there's one who abides forever. There's one that we can anchor ourselves in. His word is unchanging. His opinions are settled. His decrees are from everlasting to everlasting, and it'll endure if I build my life on him. If I build my life on something that is enduring, the scripture says that we read there in 1 John, that we can abide forever. Whosoever doeth the will of the Father. Let's look now at Isaiah. Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. Isaiah 33, verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Oh, we need some stability in our time. In the time that we're living in today, in the time that they were living at in this dispensation, this, I believe, referring to the reign of Hezekiah and the time that he was living in. You can read in the account in the Kings of his reign that the Lord blessed and prospered his reign and his rule because he built his trust. He built his kingdom upon a firm foundation of the Lord. The stability of thy times. Like for us to remember one of the children of Israel. Genesis chapter 49. The blessing of the children of Israel, and read here of some of the specific blessings to the children. Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Unstable as water. It's about as unstable as it gets, doesn't it? Water will conform to the shape of the vessel that it's in. It'll fill whatever shape that you pour the water in. It'll spread to fill that shape. Water is something with the least shift, the least movement. You see the waves that are created buy it. You see the movement? It's not stable. And I believe if you look at the wording of this, it's referring perhaps even more so to the nature of the boiling of water, that it's not in a stable condition. Reuben, you're not stable. You're not firmly fixed and grounded and have something that anchors you. You're so quick to boil over. You're so quick to lose control. You're so quick to be governed by your passions. And that's not a firm grounding. You remember what the book of James says about a double-minded man? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Whenever I'm of a double mind, whenever I want to follow after the Lord, but I also kind of want to follow after the world, I'm not going to be able to be stable, to have this firm stability in my life. There's going to be something that's shifting of my foundation. Whenever my mind is not settled and made up, Lord, I'm going all the way with you, whatever the price, whatever the cost. Lord, I'm going all the way with you. You can't serve two masters. He said, a double-minded man, you're going to find yourself in your life in a place of instability, that you're moved one way and then you're moved another way. Oh, my desire is, I'm bordering on young to middle-aged, whatever category you want to put me in. But as long as the Lord allows of my life to continue, I want it to be established. I want, whenever I get to the end of it, the scripture says, make straight paths for your feet, lest they that are lame be turned out of the way. Lord, help us to make some straight paths, not to be unstable in all our ways, that we'd be able to have some stability about us in our lives. So how does that stability come about? Is it only if I happen to be one of those, as the world would say, a lucky one, or one that luck or karma smiled upon, that I just don't really have much hardship in life? I can find stability then. I can, as long as nothing rocks my boat, I can be stable. Folks, we can't count on that. The Lord's got a plan in salvation that is so much greater than that. The plan of salvation is not to still the waves every time. It is to still the vessel in the waves. It's not to give us one long, calm, unbroken sea of glass, but it is to give us, as we're going through life, some stability about us. That though the waves come, I've got something that anchors and holds me. Kevin's a pilot. You'd understand whenever you're flying, you want some stability in flight. Whenever the Wright brothers were developing the plane that made him famous, it wasn't an overnight experiment. It took a lot of development, a lot of trial and error. And there was a lot more to it than being able to get off the ground. That in and of itself was a feat, was an accomplishment. But it took more than that. Because once you're up in the air, now what? Once I'm up in the air, I don't want to make a nosedive back into the ground. You've got to be able to control the aircraft. You've got to be able to have some stability as you're flying. By the controls that you've got. Whenever you get an updraft, if you've ever flown in a small plane, you'll feel that on a turbulent day. And sometimes looks can be deceptive. It's on the clearest day that you'll feel the most instability in the air, where you'll feel the thermals and the updrafts, where a small plane going into that, whatever size plane you've flown in, turbulence isn't a very pleasant feeling. Especially if you're looking, if you're flying overseas and you look at the little map on the seat in front of you, and all you see is blue all around you, you're halfway over the ocean and you start to feel the plane shake and you start to feel your stomach rise up in your chest as you go up and down. You really, really want some stability. Really want to be able to feel like things are under control. To feel like I'm not going to be just thrown and torn to pieces. So stability is very important in flight. The ability of an aircraft to weather, stability is not the ability of an aircraft to fly through perfectly calm skies. That's not much of an indication of stability. But whenever you hit an updraft, whenever you get a crosswind that blows in, whenever you've got some turbulent conditions, how well is the aircraft going to fly through turbulent conditions? How well is it going to be able to recover whenever it hits a pocket of hot air that's rising up? That moment whenever it feels like your stomach is in your throat because you take that jump and the aircraft is stressed and strained and maybe creaks a little bit. But the ability of that aircraft to recover control is so important to safety. Folks, our ability by the Lord's help to recover control when life would send us sprawling, whenever something blindsides us, whenever something comes out of the blue that I was not expecting, you know, if we are going through life without the proper stability in my life, it can destroy us. It can cause us that our faith would be destroyed. It can cause us that I lose hope, that I despair, that I go into a graveyard spiral, so to speak, as I'm flying. I've lost control. I'm out of control. I don't know how to navigate my way out of this. The Lord wants to give us today some stability in our lives. And I can't have that if I'm double-minded. I can't have that if my heart's divided and torn. If I want to go one way and I pulled another way, Lord, help me to be single-minded. Help me, Lord, to be of a single heart. I want to go all the way with You. Lord, I want You and only You in my life. There's some stability that comes with that. There's some stability. How long, Elijah asked, how long will you halt between two different opinions? Oh, you're in a place, the children of Israel, where you don't have a stable kingdom right now. You got one enemy that'll rise up and overthrow you, and then you'll overthrow them, or maybe another one will come. And the Lord came to give some stability. Children of Israel wanted a king. The Lord didn't need a king. The Lord was the king. But the children of Israel, whenever they began to look to be like the other nations around them, sought out a king, and as they were warned, so it came to pass. Kings rose that were evil, kings rose that were good. They would forsake God, and then they would remember their God. And it was marked by a lot of turmoil, a lot of instability. There are nations, there are regions where there is all kinds of political instability in our world. It's not safe to be in this area because there's a lot of political instability. There's at just a moment, at just something can flare up. Read of stability also when it comes to chemical reactions. Whenever you have a chemical that is highly unstable, you've got to take extra precautions in transporting it and storing it, because it doesn't take very much for it to flare up and to cause a disaster. Instability. The Lord wants us to be able to be part of a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. Let's look now back in Isaiah here. Isaiah 33 and verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to raise my children. Whenever I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back on it and say, by the grace of God, I found a sure dwelling place. Let's look at that as well here in Isaiah 32. While we're here, Isaiah 32 and 17 says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness. and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Folks, this isn't talking about an age to come. It's not talking about a kingdom that Jesus will come and set up in a future age where there'll be peace and he'll overthrow all enemies and opposing kingdoms. It's talking about a kingdom that he sets up within our hearts that shall not be overthrown. A kingdom that regardless of what happens around us. And to me, it's part of the beauty of the plan of salvation. While there were a people who were looking for a Messiah that would overthrow the Romans, Jesus came in saying, I've got something so much better for you than that. I've got something so much better. It's a kingdom that comes not with observation, but is within you. So that if you're ruled by the Romans or you're ruled by another kingdom or you are the one on the top, you can still have a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. You can be a part of a kingdom that'll never be overthrown, reigning and ruling within our hearts. Folks, that is the anchor that holds us through life. That is the anchor whenever the storms and the waves and the winds hit us. Will keep us anchored. It'll keep us from being destroyed. It said there will be peaceable habitations and sure dwellings and quiet resting places. Let us, everyone, purpose within our hearts. Lord, I'm going to make you my foundation. The decisions that I make, to base them on the Word of God, to base them on His counsel, not the changing counsel or opinions of man, but upon the firm foundation of God's Word, that I would purpose in my heart, speaking just to you personally of my heart's desire. I've got young children. Lord, I want to raise them in a peaceable habitation. I want to raise them in a sure dwelling place. I want to raise them by making straight paths for my feet. And I can't do it if my heart is not established. If my heart is not fixed, they're not going to find that sure dwelling place. Whenever the generation that's following is growing up in such a volatile time, such an uncertain age, it's frightening to think of my children going off to college or going off into the workplace and not being under my influence. But I can have a confidence and an assurance. Lord, help me to raise them in a sure dwelling place. Help them, Lord, help me to show them how to anchor their lives because they've seen me anchor mine in the rock which is Christ Jesus. Whenever they see reverses come in my life, they can see me going back to the rock. Whenever they see the winds trying to blow me one way or the other, that they can see the stability of me coming back to that sure place, that sure foundation that I can build my life on, that they can realize as well when it comes their time to go out into the world, the workplace, to school. They're going to face the winds and the waves, but they can find that same sure dwelling place. For one thing we know without question, it will abide forever. It'll always stand. God's word, though some should not believe, though some should question and doubt, the word of God will never be made of none effect. The word of God will never be changed. Its truth will never be altered. I am the Lord, he said, I change not. In a world of change and decay and all around I see, O thou that changest not, abide with me. I'm thankful this morning that we can find a place of stability in our lives to be able to build my house, my spiritual house, to be on a sure foundation, to be a sure and a solid and an everlasting dwelling place. You pray for me. Amen.